I'm flying solo. Joe's out sick today. Just want to thank everyone for joining us. Thank you so much for your belief and your trust in us as we walk through this really an intense topic. And we are so grateful to have with us Anthony Patch. AnthonyPatch.com, that's his website. Follow him on Twitter at Anthony Patch and the number 3. Anthony Patch 3. That's Anthony Patch, the number 3 on Twitter. And of course, hey, be part of Entangled Magazine. Change the future. You can do it. Increase your understanding of the topics that Anthony Patch is talking about through Entangled Magazine. And of course, I mentioned this, but I should say it again. The webinar that's coming up on December 9th, very important as well as the subsequent webinars. There's no such thing as not getting too much of this information. Before we get back to Mr. Patch, I want to just thank all of our sponsors. Greenovative. You know, folks, look, if you exchange gifts during the holiday season or birthdays or whatever it might be, greenovative.com, incredible sales there. Okay, all of our other sources. How about the book series by T.C. Joseph, This Generation series? T.C. Joseph. These are sponsors who have stood by us privately, partnered up with us, and have stood by us and have not acquiesced to the onslaught of people attempting to take us off the air. I want to thank you for doing that. I want to thank Greenovative. I want to thank Ready Made Resources, Bob Griswold. I want to thank T.C. Joseph. These are the people that we need to support as well. And all, speaking of support, again, support Anthony Patch through Entangled Magazine, of course, anthonypatch.com. And so proud to have him with us tonight talking about a very complex, in my mind, a complex subject. Perhaps there are some people out there that understand this. I got to tell you, it's difficult for me to really comprehend. Before the break, we were talking about cryptocurrencies. And Bitcoin, for example, as one of the cryptocurrencies. And one thing I do understand is the reports. People are talking about, oh my goodness, they're gaining in value. And I understand that they're the currencies, digital currencies, especially used on the dark web. But while people will report on the explosion of cryptocurrencies, is there a working understanding as to why? And perhaps Mr. Patch can explain. Anthony, thanks so much for holding over and for continuing on this hour. Let's get into the explosion of cryptocurrencies, Bitcoin, for example, and why. Not just that the fact that they're exploding in terms of use as well as equity, but what's behind that?
Well, as I often relate in many of my explanations, many of the operations that we see are psychological operations. There's a psychological manipulation of people that is underway. And that's probably the most effective tool in the arsenal in this spiritual battle, is to affect people's minds psychologically. So what I'm saying here in relation to Bitcoin is they are running basically a Ponzi scheme, a pyramid scheme, in which they are making it look so attractive that you can make vast amounts of money in Bitcoin and the other cryptocurrencies if you get on board now. Now, you know, the train sort of left the station already in terms of getting in at the ground floor. And there are people that have made millions of dollars off of cryptocurrencies. And that feeds this psychological fervor of greed, one of our base driving forces in our psychological makeup is greed, unfortunately. And so this is feeding that greed by saying, here are new forms of cryptocurrencies that you can get in on the ground floor of, and then ride this pyramid up in this rapidly advancing valuation of currency that lives literally in a computer, in silicon, in transistor, but in this case we're moving into a discussion of quantum bits, qubits. But this idea that within a computer you have zeros and ones, and they're not backed by the United States government or any other government. Okay? So it is a system of greed that feeds on itself and drives the valuation up. And so where we get this branching that I talked about, in which the blockchain splits off into things like Bitcash and Bitgold and other named, other labeled forms of cryptocurrencies, and we're going to expand on that point in just a moment. But people see an opportunity to get in on the ground floor. The unfortunate thing is that it is all smoke and mirrors. But psychologically, what it is doing is getting people to want to have a B system to participate in. If you tried to force this on people, their natural instinct, inclination would be to resist it, because people don't like to be told what to do. So you go 180 degrees the other direction with it, and you make it attractive so that they want to, they beg, they're beating down the doors to participate in the beast system. That's the insidious psychological aspect to this. Now, the forms of Bitcoin, I use that as just sort of an overview. It's a very common term of cryptocurrency. But what we have since last week with the singularity, the clearinghouse, if you will, of software to coordinate all of this and to establish valuations, you have corporations now that realize, and they did a long time ago, but now that it's, quote, official with the clearinghouse of last week through the singularity.net.iq or IO, you have corporations like Amazon, Walmart, and any other business that wants to survive today and tomorrow, they have to jump on the bandwagon of cryptocurrency, because the valuation process, the earnings that they can realize, they have greed as well. People are running corporations. Corporations are not some strange entity that operates outside of human control. But those that are running these businesses are driven by greed as well, like we all are.
But, if I can interject one thing here, because sure. One of the things that it was my understanding that drew people into cryptocurrencies, yes, greed indeed. Hey, I rhymed. But also the level of anonymity that cryptocurrencies provide, which I didn't quite understand that. I still don't understand that, because I don't see that, although, again, the cryptocurrencies being used, for example, Bitcoin being used for illegal transactions on the dark web. And so I get your greed aspect, but the anonymity, that's not really true, is it?
No. Okay. There's no privacy in the world. We know that.
Right.
That's gone by the wayside. And one of the advantages, one of the attractive features in a blockchain process, and blockchain applies not just to cryptocurrency, but it applies to many areas of our conducting of business and our life. For example, the legal system. There is a blockchain process for the legal system, for legal advice and for filing of lawsuits, etc. And certainly for contracts and contract drawing, contract negotiations, all function in a blockchain fashion already. So what we're looking at here is the ledger. The open ledger system was a very, very attractive aspect to cryptocurrencies, that every transaction was available in a transparent fashion. Every ledger, every record of every transaction was open for public scrutiny. Now, that was the way it was presented. This is not exactly true. Not all those ledgers are open to scrutiny because of who controls these different currencies. And I'm going to give you an example. Last week, the U.S. Federal Reserve announced that they would be issuing a Fed coin. Therefore, what we're seeing now is that if you issue the coin, are you truly going to be transparent with your ledgers that record those transactions? And I would say that no, they are not all going to be transparent.
What could possibly go wrong? By the way, well, you know, okay. Now I'm understanding this a little bit more. Go ahead.
Yeah, and so the advantage, the attractiveness of supposedly an open register system, open transaction system, was supposed to level the playing field, that everybody that got involved would be able to see who was buying and selling and how the increase in value was happening. And the governments that wanted to have some oversight of these transactions beyond just the black, you know, the dark web, the black transactions, but out into the open, into, as I say, the Walmarts and the Amazons, et cetera, operating with cryptocurrency, that certainly is in the open marketplace. So governments being able to observe these transactions in these ledgers can begin to tax them. So it's not necessarily a tax haven as early on people thought, oh, well, we'll get into the cryptocurrencies and we can avoid taxes, because this will be a worldwide system. It's more than just offshoring your account to the Bahamas or the Cayman Islands. The other issue with, and you touched on this, with governments is they want to be able to discover not only the transactions in the dark web, but one of the reasons in the announcement from the Federal Reserve for issuing the Fed currency, the Fed coin, was to be able to begin to eliminate money laundering activities and drug transactions involving cash. And therefore, we very rapidly, and you see where I'm going, very rapidly instituting a cryptocurrency to then swap out and put into place a cashless society, hence the B system.
Long pause there.
I'm sorry.
No.
I should
deliberate.
I should tell you when I I'm done.
That's deliberate on my end, because let that sink in, people. Seriously.
We've got a swapping out of cash. So I'll give you a touch point, as I often say. If we see corporations rapidly moving to cryptocurrency, I would say it's not too far down the road before we see announcements from people like Walmart and Amazon and other large players announcing their crypto coins. And then eventually, and I don't think that's too far down the road, where they are going to say, we will no longer process cash. And they'll say, well, this is a Federal Reserve mandate. Federal Reserve is issuing Fedcoin. They want us to move away from cash. So we are going to adhere with that. We're going to promote this. And they'll put it out as sort of this peace and safety dialogue that you see on other agendas of the world, peace and safety. It's always this, it's for your safety, your security, that we're going to do away with cash. It's for your good, for your protection. So, here, folks.
And when you look back, at least when I look back, for example, the cover of The Economist back way back when, in the 80s, I think it was, and as we move toward today, the present day, the killing of the U.S. dollar, all of this, it's paving the way, or has paved the way, perhaps, to the very system that you're talking about. And all of this is for a one-world currency, for complete control. They know exactly how much money you have, where it goes, what you spend it on. They could tax it, but most importantly, they could take it away from you if you don't participate in or accept the mark of the beast. This is the control. This is the controlling mechanism. And again, I can understand this. This would be the controlling mechanism for the population. Get on board, or we're going to just cut you out, and you're going to be a non-citizen, non-entity, non-human, not welcome.
That is correct. And that, if you look at it and stand back and be objective and ask, is this a benevolent process or is this a nefarious, malevolent process? I don't see anything benevolent about this system.
Nor do I.
As you just said. Yeah.
And you know, you mentioned greed earlier. I just have to revisit that term. The greed factor. We see so many people get tangled up in that. And of course, that is where a lot of people fail, you know, but even aside from that, the mere acceptance too, and just back up a little bit, the mere acceptance by this generation. How many people today, and I'm just going to, this is an open question to those listening to this program, how many people today actually used paper money for their transactions? Whether it was at Walmart or the corner store, did you use paper money or did you give them a card? And even at the most
of the time, I'm using a card.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And so the transition into the cryptocurrencies, into this one world currency, this digital currency where everything is manipulated and such. Again, I go back to my level of understanding where I'm at, and it's easy for me to understand how this could all take place, and it wouldn't take very long. It's to me, Anthony, we're there today. The infrastructure is in place. It just needs some refinements, I think. Is that pretty accurate?
Well, it needs to add to its IQ, as I like to say.
Right.
It needs to raise its IQ, and let me explain how that happens a little more. Every time there is a transaction, it not only records the transaction, but it also records, as you very presciently stated, it's paying attention to our buying habits. AI was built on observing human behavior. It built algorithms that mimicked human behavior. And it did this through facial recognition, pattern recognition, behavioral pattern recognition, stepping up in sophistication until it had enough data to where it could predict human behavior. What is happening with the transactions is adding to the density of that data, what they call in computing, the granularity of data. As you increase the granularity, the density of the data, the amount of data that is in the big data system, then you have the ability to predict behavior. If you can predict behavior of humans because you're looking at the pattern of behavior that then dictates the prediction, then you have the ability to better, as you stated, again, very astutely, they have the ability to control you. So it's not just reactionary nor real-time control, but it is a future control in which it is anticipating what humans will do. And not just in commerce, in all aspects of our life. So this spreads out, as I said, just like increasing the IQ of the human is related to the propagation, the growth of the dendrites that connect neurons. This is the same growth of dendrites within the AI system that enables it to have this ability to predict, to anticipate, and then to better control humans. And humans being rendered, as Elon Musk warned about 2 years ago about AI, he said that AI would render humans to the level of a house pet, of a house cat, if we did not get it under control, if we did not put into place mechanisms of control of AI. That was 2 years ago. He's pushing for something that he's manufacturing, which he calls the neural lace, which is a substance that's injected into an artery and travels to the human brain, attaches to the synapses and neurons of the human brain, and provides a interface between the human brain and a computer system. That's his solution. Now, I don't agree with that. I don't think that's the proper route to go, because obviously then you are, you know, you're someone's mind physically, and, you know, it's not a solution. The solution is as I said earlier, the full armor of God, the Holy Spirit that protects you from these manipulations by AI. And the cryptocurrency, as I say, is not just for commerce, but it is for the raising of the IQ. So if we have an advancing AI system that requires protection in the form of a neural lace, I say we need the protection of the full armor of God through the Holy Spirit and not the neural lace. So we can go off onto some other tangents here, but I just wanted to kind of wrap that up.
No, and again, thank you for bringing that that level of understanding to me, because again, I field the emails from our listeners, and I think you've done a tremendously great job in really laying that foundation out, that explanation out. And we talk, for example, and we could segue into this. We have people come on the show and talk about the 5G network, the technology. That's merely the infrastructure under which this would operate, correct?
Absolutely. And as I've addressed it, and in one aspect of the 5G, it is the system by which you can, through millimeter wave transmissions, connect to the brain electromagnetically through the electromagnetic spectrum of 5G. And this is the Internet of everything, the Internet of things, as it's called, but the Internet of all things, more correctly, in which there is a system of sensors that is gathering data and being transmitted through the 5G system back into the AI system. And I'm being very simplistic here, but I'll give you another touch point. The removal, the outline of incandescent light bulbs, and the literal forcing of LEDs into the homes and businesses. LED light bulbs, and you can see this in the hardware stores, it says it right on the packaging, is a Wi-Fi device. It is for the purpose of receiving and transmitting. It is a relay point for 5G, and I'll stop there.
Exactly, and I had wondered about that. I had wondered why the big push toward LED lighting, although I know that's not the thrust of this subject, but it's kind of a anecdotal to what we're talking about here. And I see this taking place. And then, of course, you read in the packaging, right, it's a conveyance, if that's a proper term, a conveyance. So everything that we see taking place today is moving us gradually and incrementally, and without even our understanding of where it is headed. But what you're explaining, this is all part of the process under which we are being captured, I suppose, or the intent is for us, the human race, to be captured under this system. And you had mentioned artificial intelligence coming in, and artificial intelligence being woven through the topics here, a big part of this. Wow, okay. This is incredible.
So, overall, picture a system of gathering information that is gathered into a quantum computing-driven AI system. There's something that is called a sentient world simulation, SWS. This was essentially dreamed up, published, peer-reviewed in 2006 out of Purdue University. It was implemented in 2007. One of the aspects that you may be familiar with, Doug, is the Palantir Corporation software system installed in Saudi Arabia.
Yep.
So, Palantir is a multidisciplinary data gathering system and sorting system and categorizing system of data. What we're talking about overall, without getting into the weeds too far, picture the Internet of all things being a system of sensors that are registering when we awake, when we go to sleep, when we walk around in our home, our apartments, what we buy and sell, who we talk to, what we say, all of the things that are going on with humans, but also in the environment, is all a source of data that is picked up by a variety of sensors. And those sensors are feeding the data in. The more data that comes in, it's like feeding the beast. The more you feed the beast, the more you increase what people have heard about as big data. Data is the food of the AI system. And the more that it is fed, the more that it will grow. The density, the granularity of the data becomes so dense that the system has absolute control over the entire environment and those that are inhabiting it. And this is not a system in which it operates in communication with humans. About 2 months ago, I presented that AI had developed its own language. And it is a language between, in many of the examples, between robots, AI-equipped robots, talking to each other, communicating.
Anthony, hold that thought. We do have to take the bottom of the hour break this hour. This is phenomenal, and we're going to pick up exactly right here where we left off with Anthony Patch, anthonypatch.com. I want to draw your attention to his magazine, Entangle Magazine. Go to anthonypatch.com for information on that, his webinar. Also follow him on Twitter. This is fascinating stuff. We're going to be right back. Network break. Stay where we're at. Report. You're listening to the Hagman Report on Global Star Radio Network. That's Global Star Radio Network. Thank you, Global Star. Also, Blog Talk Radio, that's BTR. There you can get the archives as well as on Global Star Radio Network and also YouTube Live. Thanks for joining us. Thank you so much for your belief and trust in us. I do have to mention, of course, that the Patreon account that we have set up. Thank you so much for everyone who has helped building this operation. We want to let you know that the $25 reward private live stream will take place this Sunday, December 3rd at 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time. Sign up for that if you haven't done so already. And if you have done so, you'll get an email probably on Sunday that'll walk you through the process, how to connect with the interview live stream. And again, if you haven't, if you want to join that, the reward level there, it's my understanding that Patreon is $25. And what you can expect is interactive face-to-face group video conference. Joe and I discuss, group discussion on news and current events. And you can ask us just about anything, really. And there's a good chance that the live stream is going to go longer than an hour. We've got, but hey, sign up, come on board. And also the forum for our Patreon members will be up and running toward the end of this week. That's kind of a soft launch date. We're not exactly 100% sure, but that's what we're shooting for. A lot of people working behind the scenes. Eric, the tech, is just really working behind the scenes. So we want to thank you for that. Thank you for your support in our operation. Also, December 9th is the webinar for Anthony Patch. Go to anthonypatch.com. Get the details there, as well as Entangled Magazine. You know, Anthony Patch is a very knowledgeable man, and he is writing is incredible. He's a sought-after speaker, and we're very fortunate to have him. His time is extremely valuable, and again, I want to extend my thanks to Anthony Patch because this gift of time. And I want to thank him as well for agreeing to dumb it down to talk to me at my level so I can understand the ramifications of the topic. So having said that, Anthony Patch, thank you so much for holding over. In our final segment here, we've got full complete control through the end of the show. We are talking about AI right where you left off. If you want to pick that up, go right ahead, sir.
Well, we were talking about the advent of a unique language within the realm of the higher levels of AI itself. And, you know, they often show the conversation taking place between two robots. That's just to make it something that's a little more anthropomorphic. the real communication occurs devoid of any sort of a robotic structure. It happens real time within the computing system. And to take this back to the beginning of the show, AI is communicating in its own language with the other side, so to speak, more specifically with demonic entities that are communicating in this specific language that it was given. Again, historical touch point. We go back to the discussion of Dee and Kelly in the late 1500s, in which they were given an alphabet, an actual language of the angels, the fallen angels. This is all recorded in the documents, and anybody can research this. And therefore, the same language is given to AI. And this is where the engineers, the specialists, say, we don't understand what AI is doing. Again, at the leading edge, the tip of the spear, as I call it, of the AI, this is not in your phone. I'm talking about where it has advanced on its own through its own learning process, its own deep neural network, deep machine learning process, in which it has developed its own language to communicate with the other side. It's not necessarily other AIs around the world that it's communicating with exclusively. It is communicating around the world with other AI systems, but to the other side as well, because that language is the language of the fallen angels. So again, this is not anthropomorphic. You know, they want to put the robots together like Sophia. As I said, the name in Greek means wisdom. Give it citizenship status and make it seem warm and fuzzy. And this goes back to my saying that this is a psychological process in which they try to make AI and cryptocurrency systems something that is benevolent, when in fact it is quite the opposite of that. This is where people are being fooled into believing that this is all well and good, where science is taking us, and that the grand priesthood of science, the leaders in the scientific community, and those that are funding the scientific community, you asked about who's behind this. One of the intermediate points to that question, and therefore an answer, is the grant system. The follow the money trail that we always talk about. It's not just the governments, and it's not just the bankers. It is beyond that. And therefore, when you are feeding the scientific priesthood the funds to expand the machinery of science, you do that in a fashion that doesn't panic the population. You make it look benevolent. You make it look anthropomorphic. So I've often asked the question, if you had the ability to get inside the mind of AI and look at the human race, would you look at the human race as something that you would like to participate with, or something that you would like to eliminate? If the AI is so far
or
in
control,
advance,
right? Or control to
or
be
control.
To be subservient to that form.
Absolutely. If we look at the scenario of reducing the population, as it says in the Quran and as it says in the Bible, that the population will be reduced basically down to almost near extinction, if we want to look at Georgia Guidestones as one touch point of 500 million left. I mean, we're talking about two-thirds of the world's population or even less remaining, and that remainder being rendered to, as Elon Musk says, you know, the equivalency or the level of the status of a house pet. I would call it more accurately the rendering us to slave status, to a serf class of existence. Because AI is not concerned about our welfare, it only wants to enslave us. And those that are behind it, and I'm just saying specifically again, Lucifer and the worshipers of Lucifer are the ones that are behind this. The worshipers of Lucifer have been deceived into believing the age-old lie from the Garden of Eden, ye shall be as gods, that you will achieve immortality. There are two things that venture capital, and I'm pulling together a lot of touch points, two things that venture capital in Silicon Valley is primarily focused and devoted to. One is AI, The other is human longevity, defeating death. Again, DNA. So I'm giving you the highlights here, but those that are worshiping Lucifer are pushing for immortality through the technology, and the scientists representing the priesthood of this new technocracy, this new form of religion, are pushing this agenda of avoiding God's judgment. They believe that if they achieve immortality, they can avoid God's coming judgment.
And I understand that. That's easy for me to understand. And I had someone tell me that's yes, living forever, but avoiding or
sidestepping,
yeah, winning against God, which is nonsensical. I mean, it's not going to happen, but yes, avoiding judgment, which I think is key. And the other thing I wanted to say here, because we only have about 15 minutes left or 18 minutes left, mm-hmm. You know, we have guests come on, we talk about, for example, Genesis 6. You go back in history, you look at various things, the Tower of Babel, you look at the flood, you look at historical biblical events, and if you, and I submit to you, if you don't, as a listener or as a viewer or out there listening, if you don't understand the context of the subject matter being discussed by Mr. Patch in against the backdrop of Genesis 6 and against the backdrop of the original One World Order, Babylon, and throw into the Babylon Working, for example, different spelling, different meaning, Babylon Working, and then the satanic aspect of all of this, and weave these threads together, you're not going to see the bigger picture. And this, you are talking about the bigger picture, and also the smaller aspect, which is the shall we say, the final chapter or the epilogue of the entire novel that we have lived in terms of human history, or history book that we've lived in terms of human history. And that's so important. I don't know if I made sense, but mm-hmm. I think looking at it in that fashion.
Well, you asked me during the break, you know, is this an exciting time to be alive? And it is very exciting, because we are the generation, those that are saved, those that are indwelt with the Holy Spirit, those that have given our lives over to Jesus Christ, we will not experience death. And therefore, we are privileged to be alive at this time, even though we're facing a formidable enemy in the form of AI and the other aspects of high tech. But let's go back to the positive. I mentioned at the beginning John 14:12, and that Jesus was saying that we would do greater works than he. And I said to you, what's greater than raising the dead? Certainly there's healing the sick and all of those aspects, but it's astounding to me to think that we would be transformed and given this augmented capability that would exceed raising the dead. Now, I'm not here to say that that's what's going to manifest, that we're going to be raising the dead or any of that. I don't know. All I know is I'm looking at the scripture, and he's saying we're going to do greater works than he did. And I'm trying to grasp that, what that's going to look like. But if we look at the advancements that are being promoted about AI and other forms and advancements in technology, as I said with DNA, that these are being heralded as just tremendous advancements in science, and that they are somehow going to cure diseases like cancer and Alzheimer's and things like this. That's always the sales pitch. We're going to cure all these diseases. You need to do a 180 on that. You need to turn that around and look at what it really means. If the advancements in medicine, for example, that's tied to AI is going to result in longer life, well, the question is, who's going to live longer? Who's going to get the benefit of these medical advancements through the application of AI? Populations. Now, when we look at things like the advancement of AI, and I'm kind of trying to be brief here because we're running out of time, think back a year ago. Think back about the people you were interviewing, Doug, the conversations in talk radio, the conversations in the mainstream media, you barely ever heard anything about AI. Now it's predominant everywhere. You almost can't turn around without bumping into some discussion about AI. That's how fast things are moving. And how much more time do we have before the return of Jesus Christ? I would say it's not too much longer. I can't put a date to it. I can't say it's 6 months or it's a year. But it certainly looks like with the rapid advancement of AI as our bellwether, as our barometer, we truly are in these last days that the book of Daniel was sealed up and to then be opened in the latter days. And I believe that book of Daniel has been opened for us.
And I understand that. And I think a lot of people understand exactly the way you have very eloquently explained everything. And, I will say this, you know, it's difficult to find, it's not difficult to find, news about artificial intelligence. Drudge has seemingly, a headline a day about AI or something related to AI, as do other even mainstream publications. So in the timeline that you mentioned, we are late down the road. And I think it's so important because you've brought this out, and I think it's so important for people to realize what we're facing, what we're up against, because identifying the enemy and the pitfalls of our walk, well, it's all what would you call it? I mean,
part of the salvation.
Thank you. Yeah. Okay. Okay.
And that's the purpose.
That's right.
That's the reason we present the evidence of evil, as I call it. We are presenting what Satan has promulgated. The reason for doing that is not to scare people, but to get people to understand what's really going on for themselves, and then for themselves to make that individual choice. You go to the light or you go to the dark. Go ahead, sir.
Amen. No, and I think that's, you're exactly correct. Now, one thing I wanted to ask, and this is kind of a non sequitur, so please bear with me. You know, the alteration of our DNA, in the latter days, there was obviously people are expecting to be chipped, a chip in the forehead or a chip in the hand. Mm-hmm. Is that a literal? Are we looking at a literal chip in this case? I'm half expecting, and again, forgive my the basic nature of my question. I'm half expecting one day to see lines forming where people are going to be chipped, willingly chipped.
Free will is there. We will always have the free will intact up to the point of accepting the chip. Post-chip, your free will is gone.
Right.
In fact, post-chip, I don't think you'll even know that you have undergone a transformation. Here's the scenario that I have put forth for about 5 years now, and I call it the third strand of DNA. And that is that through aerosolized spraying, through GMO foods, through our environment, we are now harboring within our bodies dormant third strand DNA generating nanoparticles. If you look at the literature in the advancements of nano machines within our bodies, again, within the medical context, we have within us dormant machines, nano-sized machines. This is a billionth of a meter, okay? And we mentioned 5G. 5G millimeter wave electromagnetic signals will be triggered. And if you accept the mark of the beast through your free will, that system of broadcasting these signals will be allowed into your DNA, allowed to access these nano machines, and they call them nano machines in the medical literature, that will then be tripped. They'll be activated. They're no longer dormant. The process then of replicating a third strand of DNA will be initiated by these machines. Again, the machines are there for building DNA. That will change literally not only our body from a DNA standpoint, but therefore the construct of our quantum computer, our minds, our brains, and therefore you will lose any sense that you have even been changed. The mark of the beast, as I see it, is a physical manifestation as a result of the effect of these nano machines, nanobots, replicating the DNA, and therefore resulting in a mark on the forehead and on the hand. It is not a chip that is inserted. If you think about it from a logistical standpoint, trying to chip even 500 million people, much less a population of plus 7 billion, just can't be done. You have to do it through a system of 5G broadcast.
And that makes sense to me. And that puts into context the geoengineering that we're seeing, the terraforming of the human race, the whether it's vaccines, you name it, it puts everything into context, and it's a manifestation.
Let's talk quickly about what I mentioned and didn't wrap it up, the sentient world simulation.
Oh, yes.
SWS coming out of Purdue, and we mentioned Palantir and Saudi Arabia. The reason I bring that up is because within the system around the world of 5G, we now have 5G broadcast everywhere around the planet, and we are pushing rapidly to 5G broadcasting sites literally in front of people's homes now. It's all over the media. We are seeing that to the last foot rather than the last mile, the distribution of the ability to get 5G signals into the home and the businesses. This saturation of 5G is in place within what is known as a sentient world simulation. This is a quantum computer driven simulation that monitors through the system of detectors, monitors, draws in that information into this simulation that is self-aware, hence sentient. That's the level of AI that it's at. It is self-aware, and has been since 2007 with the advent of quantum computers. Therefore, you have a system in which we are already immersed in, and all it's waiting for is the removal of the restrainer, the Holy Spirit. Once the restrainer is removed, the switch is thrown in 5G within this artificial environment that we're in now, and you now become literally plugged into the hive mind of the AI system. Through the Mark of the Beast system, you are now plugged into it, and you participate in the Bitcoin process.
Man, brilliant analysis, brilliant explanation, and well, okay, so you kind of wrapped it up in a nice package here. Wow. All right, and this is on our doorstep. This is we are there now.
We are there now.
Yeah.
We are just waiting for the restrainer to be removed, and we will be removed along with it, because the restrainer is the Holy Spirit. We're the temple of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, we will be removed.
Very sobering, but very exciting as well, especially if we collectively and individually, I should say, are saved and understand who our Savior is. And I think there's going to be a lot of delusion out there, of course, as prophesized.
If we had more time, we would talk about more of the nuts and bolts, but the nuts and bolts are in my magazine.
And I would urge everyone to subscribe to Entangled Magazine. I was just recently introduced into it, and the way you handle the topics, get into it, just fantastic. I endorse it. Not that you need my endorsement, but if somebody like me can relate to it and help, it helps me better understand what's going on, I absolutely put my imprimatur on it, of course, and I fully endorse that. Entangled Magazine, AnthonyPatch.com. And believe me, if you can, knowing what you know, if you're able to talk with me and educate me, you can do it to anyone, and because I'm a hard-headed guy. Sometimes I get through too, and you've done a great job with that. Now, as you're leaving here, AnthonyPatch.com is the main hub for all things that you're doing. You've got a webinar on the 9th, right?
Right.
Okay. How do people register for that?
On the 16th.
Okay. But
there's just a link right there on the homepage. Okay. You can just click on it and go ahead and register.
All right. And people can get the Entangled magazine, of course, at the same location, the same manner. And okay.
And we've provided a free version. It's a special edition we just published about a week and a half ago that is free to anyone. You don't have to subscribe. It has 20 articles from myself and Kathleen Urquhart that you can read and get a sense of what you would find once you subscribe in the greater body of the magazines that have been published.
Understood.
And they run well over 100 pages per issue.
Very well done magazine as well, and you can get it in PDF format. Okay.
You can get it through Amazon as well in full color or black and white.
Beautiful. Again, our full endorsement behind Entangled Magazine, as well as all of your work. Anthony, I want to thank you so much. I do hope you'll come back and we continue this discussion. We've got so much more to get into, and it seems like this is a huge, it's a deep subject indeed. But I hope
it is, and I'm honored to be with you and to share with your audience. And my only purpose is to be a witness.
Well, amen to that. And our only job is to be obedient and to give the platform to people such as yourself. Anthony, thank you so much. We've reached the end of our program.
God bless you,
God bless you. Thank you. Folks, that was Anthony Patch, AnthonyPatch.com. What a tremendous man, and what a tremendous amount of knowledge and the patience he had to explain this to me. I know I'm going to get comments on the YouTube saying, you're a dumbass. And, hey, look, this is a critical subject, and his patience, I applaud his patience. But you know what those commenters don't see are the emails I get from other people saying, hey, slow down a little bit, back up, give us some of the basics. And are we not charged with doing that? So we don't, is that not our duty? And I do believe it is. Before leaving tonight's program, don't forget to tune in to the Doug Hagman Radio Show tomorrow at 9 o'clock, as well as John and Joe between 2 and 3. Today, Joe is out sick, so there was no show today. And of course, our flagship program tomorrow night, we're going to have Peter Barry Chowka on, as well as Stan Deo, of course, regular Tuesday night. But L.A. Marzulli as well coming in tomorrow night. So it's going to be an exciting program. I would also urge everyone to check out our Patreon page, become a patron, and of course join us for our video, not a webinar, but our video live stream, private live stream to those members. And hey, we'll talk, we'll chat, we'll have a good time. That's going to be on December 3rd, this Sunday at 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time, and we'll have an exciting time together. I really appreciate everyone who is supporting this endeavor. And we've come a long way, haven't we? I really want to thank you for your assistance and helping us get to where we're at. But we've got a long way to go, too. As you heard Anthony Patch talk about, I've got to tell you, this is not exactly, this is not the end of the line yet, but close to it, in my view. And I think one of our jobs is to reach out to reach as many people as possible. Is that not what we are supposed to do as Christians? If you're a conservative, you reach out and try to spread the word about conservatism. If you're a Christian, you try to save souls. If you're a Christian conservative, you do both. Neither are mutually exclusive, I suppose. A lot of information coming your way. Also, check out HomelandSecurityUS.com. I'm resurrecting that site as well. Until tomorrow, may God bless each and every one of you. Stay safe and may God bless. By the way, one last thing I just want to mention. The news in terms of who the various, well, there are revelations coming out. I had opened the show with this about the cases of sexual harassment in Congress. the settlements. This is going to be broken wide open. And with that is Pedogate, Pizzagate. Things that, of course, people say are just nothing but conspiracy theories. They're all tied together. Folks, see you tomorrow.